Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
As you know, Christopher Moores, excited and glad to be here tonight. Feeling good and ready to have a great show. Tonight I called it Gurus, Gurus, Gurus. And as I said before, as I prepare during the week, these shows just form in my mind and all the right ideas start coming up over the course of the week. I jot out some notes and then I'm ready to go. And I could see that the theme of this show as it was coming up was to just illustrate some more about some of the way the East looks at things, some of the Eastern tradition. You know, as you know, the Western, or the Creative Cosmos, is about bringing the Western art culture and the Eastern wisdom traditions together. And tonight we're going to go into one of the key aspects of the Eastern wisdom tradition, and it's the man or woman of wisdom, the center of wisdom, the guru. And we'll get into that. And, as always, jump over to the site. You know the site, creativecosmos.org. Creativecosmos.org. And a good guide for this evening would be to jump over to the Soul School, where I have, in the beginning, a whole bunch of masters under the title Enlightenment. And some of the people I will be talking about later today on the show, you'll be able to follow the links right from the Soul School to their websites. So you can check that out. And we are glad to, at the Creative Cosmos, to have sent out our monthly newsletter. I find it really interesting this month. It's got a good summary of what we've been up to. A trip to California, and there's a really cool picture of myself and Don and Douglas on it. So if you didn't get a Creative Cosmos newsletter yet, you can see on the page, creativecosmos.org, where to subscribe to it, or you can just check it out through the link on the front page as well. And yeah, and it's also a new improved newsletter inspired by our visit with Donald and Douglas. Amy's taking on some of the HTML coding, and she's doing a really nice job. So, really, I'd like to thank her on air for doing such a great job on our newsletter, and I know she's getting ready the blog and service newsletter, perhaps even as we speak. So those of you subscribed to that, look forward to getting that soon. Another big announcement that's happened recently is we've relaunched the Transcendence World Movement, and it's got its own show on Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific, and I redid the website for that as well, transcendenceworldmovement.com. We got a whole bunch of guests lined up for the upcoming shows all across the board. Tonight's just going to be you and me flying solo through the land of wisdom. And if you'd like to call me up and talk with me, here's the number, 888-268-4313. I'll give it to you again. 888-268-4313. Or for those of you who like to dial direct, call me at 530-876-3222. Yeah, take advantage. I'm here. I have all the time in the world to hear what's going on with you and to help you work on the awakening or the ascension or the transcendence or however you want to put what's happening to many of us across the land, and certainly is happening, and that is reaffirmed to me in many of the emails that you listeners out there and readers of my articles and frequenters of the website have let me know, and it's really interesting because the signs are very similar. You know, someone starts realizing they have an inner inclination and they're looking around at their environment, and it doesn't seem like the other people really notice what they're noticing, and they have all these feelings and, you know, not sure where to place them or what to do with them. Well, that's what we're here for. That's what the Creative Cosmos is here for, and that's what BBS Radio is here for, because this is a very wonderful time to be alive, and many of us are growing to a whole new level of human understanding. And just through talking about it and researching it and reading and meditating, we are all on a journey together that knows no limits and has endless possibilities. And together we can create the future from living totally in the moment. And what a beautiful future we shall create together, my friends. Thank you for listening. I truly appreciate it. You know, I say it sometimes, but I like to say it again, that this is a pleasure for me. It's a joy to be on the air and to have this time and to know that you're tuning in and joining me and enjoying my thoughts. And I really do want you to call in whenever you feel called to. And, you know, don't let being on air freak you out at all. You can just dive in. It's exciting. You know, there might be a little fear threshold sometimes. That's how it is in performance. And jumping into that and feeling the thrill of it is a really great growth process in and of itself. And I recommend it. Interact with myself or any of the great hosts we have on BBS Radio. And I have another really interesting thing going on tonight. I am holding a contest. And really, I worked on this. This is the idea of Don and myself. We collaborated on an interesting thought, and the contest revolves around that. And I'm going to do my best not to give it away here. I'm going to try to give you a clue, maybe help you along. And so those of you who are used to or who check out the BBS Radio Index page or the blogandservice.com page, maybe you're familiar with the little broadcaster icon that we use as the logo up in the right-hand corner. Now, he's a pretty cool guy, and he's going to have more to say in the future. We're going to get to know this guy a little bit better. And he's got a name. So the contest for this evening, and the prize is a really fine BBS Radio Pole shirt. I believe that's what you call those kind of shirts. I got one myself. They're very stylish and shows that you are about cosmic matters. All right, well, you know what I mean. It's a cool shirt. So here's the contest. Tell me what that guy's name is in the upper right-hand corner, because it's somewhere on the site. The answer of what that broadcasting logo, what his name is, the answer lies somewhere on our site, so you're going to have to search for it. But the first person who can call me up on the air and give me his name, you will get a shirt, and we'll put you on with Don, and he'll take your address, and we'll send that out to you. So let's have some fun with that. Start searching and see who can tell me what his name is. All right, and before we get into our topic, I had another really interesting thing to share with you here. Also, talking with Don and doing some experiments and going with the flow, he showed me that, you know, I had made up this ad, a radio clip of our phone number, our toll-free number. Perhaps you've heard it. I'll play it here in a minute, but it's the one that goes 888-268. And later, Don showed me that when you played it in reverse, that you get some phrases that really stick out. And so then today I isolated those phrases, and I want to play that for you and see if you can help me figure out what it says. And I'll also go through some of my other files and perhaps reverse those too, because this clearly, I mean, it gets your attention. Something's being said here, and you know, we are considering how that works, or how the spirit can talk through the reverse of the music. And what's unique about this is it's a many-layer track. It's not just one track of speaking that you reverse. It's many layers that when you reverse it, it says something that's you can almost figure out what it is. We got an idea with some word possibilities, but I'd like to hear what you have to say as well. So if Don, if you're out there, how about we play right now the forward version of the 888 number, and then we'll come back for a moment and we'll reverse it.
You got it.
Put this one down so it's a little shorter and just the key segments are there. But now let's check out the reverse speech on this 888 song. Here we go. I heard that, it sent a chill up my spine, and Amy too, and all of us were just like, whoa, what is that? So I'm going to play it for you one more time, and I want you to call me up and tell me what you think it's saying or what you think of that phenomenon. Here we go, one last time. For the evening, so you know the number. Give me a buzz if you feel like it. Now we're on with the topic. Gurus, gurus, gurus. Now, what the heck is a guru anyway? I know in the West and in our culture we kind of have, they're almost caricaturish in a way, and people tend to, since gurus say so many things, people make all kinds of crazy things out of what they say, and things get kind of confused and whatnot, but we're going to cut right to the chase here. And the guru is existence speaking through the one who has open pathways. You see, when you can tune into the existence and completely open up your mind and your energy to the influx straight from the inside. Now this is a real key point, and it's hard to understand. Try not to understand it through your mind. Just kind of let it wash over you. Let it sink in, this idea that when we get out of the limitations of the mind and open our heart, we can become a vehicle for nature's expression. Just like anything in this existence, we vibrate with the energy of the divine and of the universe. So, one thing to really point out here is the difference. Another name for the guru is sometimes they call the guru the master. And immediately people recoil at the word master in the West. because they make they think of it as a ruler over others. So kind of in the West, we start out thinking that, well, the guru, he's got people around, and it seems as if they're trying to rule over others or influence others to their way. But in the East, it's seen in a different way, that the master or the guru is not at all a ruler over others. The master is a ruler over themselves. They have mastered themselves. They've gone through the whole process of awakening, cleared out all the mental habits, all the emotional pain, flushed all foreign items out of their energy field, and have just opened up to the flow and live in the flow moment to moment. And so then their expression takes on that quality. And just as I say, I don't preconceive the show. I don't sit and think, well, I'm going to have a show Friday. Now I got to plan the show. And it would be good to bring in this point and that point and somebody that I just open up to the flow for whenever it wants to come in. It doesn't always come in right away. This week it came in a little late. I was getting a little nervous. But it came. It always comes. So you just got to be patient and be open. And you see, this flow is not, it actually opens up the full of your potential. As the flow comes through you, all of what's intrinsic to your nature becomes revealed, because it naturally, it effortlessly opens up, just like, and that's what the blooming of the lotus is. You see that in Buddhist literature. The blooming of the lotus, it's a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon that you can experience. Your own blooming, your own opening up, and your own expression of divine truth. And you can't learn this. You can't read it in a book. You can read about it, and you can read about techniques that are designed to elicit that kind of state. But the biggest obstacle in the West is that they're not so open. The mind always seeks to rationalize or explain or categorize. Or, you know, one thing that's happening is that we're tending to, in this society, we tend to think the worst of somebody, at least in the external culture. You know, you think, we've been trained to think that somebody is a threat first, you know. And that's a whole mentality, a whole lifestyle. Well, what if somebody was a friend first, you know? I was just expressing last night, I really truly believe in the good in people. People are good, and when they act bad, they don't necessarily mean to act bad. They just got confused or just had some bad things happen and never quite worked it out. Or there's all kinds of reasons things go bad for people, but basically people are good. And the more you trust them, the more they will tend to be a friend to you. And the more you create an atmosphere of harmony around you, the more people will be transformed by that and join in. And see, this is what the guru does. This is what the true master does. Just in tuning into the source, in reflecting that in everything they do, in the way they express themselves, in the way they carry themselves, in the way they might answer a question, or simply stand there quietly observing. Just to be near a person who has this kind of energy itself can radically change your own vibration. And I know myself in this life, I've had the magnificent pleasure of being near, very close to a number of spiritual people, people that have some of the divine energy just radiating off of them all the time. And you know, they still have things come up. They have things like car accidents or you know, obligations that I get bummed out once in a while or things like that, you know, but they're human beings. Every human being does. So if you think someday you're going to achieve a state of where nothing happens, that's not how it works. It is that you achieve a state of where no matter what happens, you still have a mastery over yourself. You have space. You have awareness of how good life is to such an extent that it permeates the way you look at everything. And this goodness is not an idea. It's a bubbling from the heart. It's a song that pours through your being. And your whole entire chakra system will resonate and just hum. That's what the Om is that energy pouring through you is when you open up to the vibration, and then the vibration becomes you moment to moment, you see. You are a work in progress. You are creation unfolding. You are opening to creativity itself. And so the Master's every touch is creative and loving and giving. And this is what draws people near, because people love to be near that kind of energy. It's a magnet. And the guru loves to share because he has so much to share. And those who can recognize that vibration and move closer to that vibration, there will be a sympathetic resonance which has profound effects upon their aura. Many times being near the spiritual people that I have been in my life, I would come, after I left them, I would come home or I would be somewhere else, and I would continue to feel the effects of their energy for hours and hours and hours and perhaps days afterwards. And my whole way of looking at life never was the same again. There's no experience in the world like being near a master, being near a guru. And we can accept the fact that someone like Buddha or Jesus was a spiritual authority in a way, was someone that was divine in some way. And we can, when we say they speak to God or speak the message, the word of God, they were in tune with the source in the same way. They were early gurus whose message took the form of the mind lexicon and audience of the time. In other words, they spoke the language of the people. They put the truth that they were directly perceiving every single moment of their lives in ways that would relate to people. And in a sense, they opened the gate to this possibility for all of us. And we need to recognize that, not think that they are some lofty and far away ideal. This is the reality that we're faced with today. We can become ourselves like Buddha or like a Christ or any of the masters that people worship around the world, Krishna or Muhammad. And the point is that these people, when they were alive, were attuned to God or the universe or existence or however you want to look at it. They had opened up. They had transformed themselves. They had disciplined themselves. They spent the time working it all out day after day after day for years and years and years. You know, in the old days, there were mystery schools that taught people how to learn these lessons. And, you know, even thinking that it's far away and impossibility is a way to keep people down in a way, you know, it keeps the masses from experiencing enlightenment, which will radically change life on Earth. We'll totally lift and transform all the problems because they aren't even there except in our own minds. And when we are able to tune into Source and see the divine plan, and each of us in our own right express it in our lives, pretty soon we're operating on a whole nother level. And this is where we're heading. We're heading this way. This is what's happening. You know, so take heart. You know, you might see some of what's going on in the world and be really concerned about it. And, you know, I'm concerned about it, too. It's really serious stuff. And for those of you who read history and are aware of history, you recognize certain things. History cycles back, you know, and also you know how bad it can get. You know, things really can go bad, and, you know, tyrannies really can become established, and people can really suffer for very long times in states that are really unnecessary. And becoming privy to these truths of existence that are being laid bare for all to see, we need to take these and share them with any who are open to listen, and then when they go through the process, they'll start engaging this new life, and this will relieve the pressure. And this is one of the attributes that comes up. I spoke earlier over how the similar phenomenon manifests in people all across the globe. Like I said before, I hear from people all over the place. And they exhibit similar things, that different things, you know, they're having these feelings or this calling, or they know they've got to find something. And also what they feel is a kind of a compression. They feel suffocated or stifled by their environment because it's constructed so rigidly, you know. People out there, people in the world, hear me, man. We can't keep living in these boxes. We can't keep doing this to each other. It's not smart. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, that's really what the phrase wake up means. Why do you gotta wake up? Because it's so damn obvious. It doesn't work. The old way is passing away. And these new truths, we are grounding and speaking of them and standing our ground and just loving strongly and expressing ourselves in what we were meant to do, regardless of the circumstance. You see, this is the kind of thing we share and pour out, and anybody who can do anything they wish with it, but it will have the effect. If you have openness, it will have a transformative effect. You just get to hear it and not judge it right away or have a mind which is like, well, that's all good and fine, and then I got to do this and that and the other thing, and then, well, you know, that's exactly the thing that keeps the broader perspective from appearing, is the mind pulls down. But pretty soon we're going to have every single trick of the mind nailed down. And then when you see it come up, you can just smile at it, have your space, enjoy your space. I think Buddha called that taming the wild horses. You know, your mind runs all around. After a while, you start watching it, and then pretty soon you start channeling those wild horses, you know, or sometimes you almost see it like great winds, you know, that are just blowing all over the place, and you slowly form it into a steady airflow, or any kind of a realization or a concept like that, a hose that's spraying all around that you steady and straighten. So that's the introduction. And where we go from here, we'll soon find out. Here's a tune that goes right with our theme and underscores what I've been saying. It's called The Master.
The Master is one and the same. The Master is one and the same. The Master is speaking. Thank you. master is one in the same. The master is one in the same. The master is living through me. The master is one in the same. For sure is the master. Yogananda is the master. Very long.
Cosmos Radio Show, and I'm Christopher Moores, your host, and we're going to go on about the topic of gurus and masters and all those kind of good things. And if you want to call me up and talk to me, it's 888-268-4313, or call direct 530-876-3222. And the question is, do you really want to wake up? Do you really want to do this? You know, we talk about it, and people like to go on and on about it. But you know what? It takes, there's a lot of hard work involved, and there's a certain amount of perseverance, and you have to keep at it, and make it a priority. And you know how you make it a priority is by the point when you understand that every single thing in your life is going to be improved if you're improved, you see. If you can adapt to some of these universal principles and open your heart and see the bigger picture, get outside of yourself, tune into the universe, you will not even believe what will happen. Your whole entire world will be different. And it will be in a good way. And everything that you enjoyed about the past will be set free, and there will be also new and wonderful things to experience. And the expansion will go on and on and on. And that's what being in tune with the changes and being a part of the universe is all about. So I'd like to introduce you to a few gurus I've met along the way. People, masters that I've really enjoyed and have really been a huge benefit to me. And as I say, if you really want to wake up, you know, not just entertain yourself, but if you really want to wake up, I'm going to talk about four people here in this next segment that's going on right now, this very segment right here, that if you were to get involved with their work, read their work, visit their sites, become a part of the process, there's just no question. You can do it. It would be so transparent. These masters cover every angle. They go round and around. They will get through. If you have any desire at all to live a better life and to enrich your world, these are some of my recommendations to you. First person I'd like to bring up is a man named Teach Nhat Hanh, and he's a Buddhist monk, Zen master, and he introduced me to the present moment. About the first book I was, one of the early books I was getting into that totally tuned me into a different kind of reality, got me through the first layer of the veil, so to speak, and I saw with a new lucidity the life that was always all around me. And his book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, was the book that brought me there. I still remember, I phased in, I came into the present moment, and I was in the body, and I was sitting outside, and I was watching people go by, and everything slowed down, so slow. and I was suddenly not a part of anything that was happening on the outside, but I could feel, like, just below everything you see, or just through everything you see, is a brilliant fluid version. And this is the astral reality that exists simultaneously with the physical reality. And if you can bring enough of yourself into the present moment and be at rest, you see, it's all the clutter in our mind and all the things that we get strained by that we don't necessarily need to be strained by, that use up our energy to the point where we become no longer attuned to this state of existence. All we need to do is untangle some of those knots. And another beautiful thing Thich Nhat Hanh talks about is using the challenging moments of your life as a call to mindfulness. He's got a book called Miracle of Mindfulness. That's beautiful. And see, this is what he talks about. Let's say you're driving around and you hit a red light and you're in a hurry and you could get really pissed off. Or you could say, this is a perfect time for me to practice relaxing, practice using a challenging situation to find peace within myself. And this is a wonderful tool. You can really do a lot with this tool to take stressful situations and turn them into something beautiful, something that enriches your life. And this is a whole new way of looking at things. And it's so healing. And you can find all new levels of relaxation. And you realize, well, you're not in a hurry anyway. And, you know, if you feel like it and your mind wants to justify it, but in the bigger picture, you don't be in a hurry. There's no hurry. There's nothing going on. There's nothing that is so important that you can't be tuned in and be yourself. And you know what? You know, I know people will give a zillion arguments about it, this, that, and the other thing. But it's because they look at it in a context, in their own context, in a position of feeling like they got to compromise because, well, their reality doesn't afford the luxury of being aware. Well, hey, man, that's exactly what we got to get over, that kind of thinking. That's what's holding us back. Don't let the small circumstances of your life that were created by the past hold you back from the brilliance of the transformation and transcendence and unfolding of the divine process, which will bring so much into your life that you can't even begin to conceive of it until it starts coming in. Oh, the universe is so good that way, in the sense that it knows better. You know, you could think you want something, but then later on, when you see the way the universe came around for you, you can see that all along things were working out. And now you could be upset about something that's not happening in your life that you want, or you can hold in your mind or that which you want and be patient and let the universe bring it to you, because it will. But it's all those thoughts of impatience and demand and small kind of desires, just selfish desires, which short-circuit the process. So you just got to lift above the morass a little bit and just trust and just start to form a personal relationship with the universe itself, with existence itself, because you can. You truly can. Just come to understand life on a personal basis, just the juiciness and the vigor and a pulsing heartbeat. It's all in you and through you and happening right in this moment, right now, even as you're listening to me. You are so wonderful. And Thich Nhat Hanh is still alive and runs a place called, or he's at a place, has a little village called Plum Village, and you could check out more of his writing and his work by following the link through the Creative Cosmos Soul School. And the next person I'd like to bring in, also really good influence on my life, and someone who really taught me to be grateful and to have devotion, and the sense of truly a romance with the universe. To see God as a lover, as love, and to interact with life in that state of knowing that you have a personal friendship with God and that anything that you could ask will be granted, that the whole beauty of the kingdom of earth, that we are divine and we have a birthright, that in just being here and being a child of the existence, we have a right to enjoy and develop and have good things come to us. And Yogananda lived in India in the early 1900s. His famous book, Autobiography of a Yogi, describes his process, and he met and learned from many amazing spiritual people, some guru types, some simple people that were very in tune. You know, they're out there too. There's some that I believe they're called the Bodhisattva and the Arhata. The Arhata is that enlightened one that just lives a simple life and isn't going to necessarily go out and promote themselves or say, hey, I'm spiritual. But they're out there all over the place. And if you pay attention, you can sometimes find these people and learn much just from their being, just from the resonance of their vibration. And the Bodhisattva is the one who becomes awakened and then figures out ways to tell the people. And Yogananda was in a line of spiritual masters. His master was Sri Yukteswar, who wrote a very, it's a very interesting little book. Okay, what is it called? I used to have a lot of these books at the top of my mind right now. Sri Yukteswar's book, slipping my mind, it could be Science of Religion or something like that. And then Yukteswar's master was Lahiri Mahasaya, and they are of the lineage of Babaji, or Babaji, however you choose to say it. And those of you who have read many books and are tuned into the New Age literature, you see Babaji come up as a very important master, like transcendent master, almost like Jesus is seen as one who's governing the spiritual affairs of Earth on a higher level, on a higher plane, and can come down and manifest at times. And in Yogananda's books, he sometimes talks about the mystical, the truly mystical phenomena, like people being able to live underwater for days and days and days because they've mastered their body so well and their atoms so well, or people who can, I know he hung out with Gandhi, and I believe he hung out with Mother Teresa. And, yeah, it's other people who could manifest items. I'm sure some of you have heard about that, where some masters can literally bring forth, materialize objects and give them to people. And so these things truly happen. There really are mystical phenomena. There really are points of where matter becomes transformed. And Yogananda came to America, and he was in America in the 20s and 30s, and he established on the West Coast something called the Self-Realization Fellowship, which still operates this day. And they continue to have many people practicing the methods that Yogananda developed and that were based on his tradition that I spoke of earlier. And many of his speeches throughout America were transcribed into books, which are just incredible sources of information, such things as The Divine Romance, or Man's Eternal Quest, or Whispers from Eternity. So I strongly recommend, if you're on the path, or you want to be on the path, to pick up some Paramahansa Yogananda work. And this is also a really good link for Christians, because he goes deeper into the teachings of Christ and some of the mystical meanings behind things that are normally taken for granted on a more superficial level. Another master, guru, that I enjoyed very much, and who I find to be, I like to call him the great and terrible Barry Long. Barry Long, I'm sure some of you are aware of him, but for those of you who aren't, he was originally from London, I believe. He lived in London, or he lived in England, and I think he became awakened sometime in 1979, pops into my mind, I don't know for sure, but sometime in that area, late 70s, and started teaching. And I would say that he, when you hear about the Zen stick, well, you could think of Barry Long. His teaching truly cuts to the core, cuts off a lot. Just really quickly, if you read him, your mind habits will just be completely erased. He knows the workings of the mind, and he's a Western teacher. Later, he moved to Australia and operated out of Australia. And he just recently passed a year or two ago, and some of the greatness of his teaching lies in his explanations of man and woman. He has a book called To Man and Truth, where he teaches man about woman and how to relate in a more understanding way to woman, and just talking to man on a more archetypal level. You know, when you hear man, usually you just think, yeah, man, he's a man, just as like a gender thing. But there's a more mythical quality in man, you know, man the hero, man the warrior, man the protector, man the manifester, the creator. The whole, just in the word man, there is much to discover. And the same to woman. He wrote a book called To Woman and Love, where he tries to explain to woman about man in the same way, you know, in a woman language, tried to understand man. And I found those very valuable, and something that a lot of maybe New Age traditions kind of gloss over or don't really go too deeply into, just the mythical quality of man and woman in that essential energy. And so he's called a Tantra teacher, because he also writes about how to use the sexual process to really develop your energies and set free high levels of consciousness and to unite the male and female as one into a whole organic entity. Another of his great books is called Origins of Man in the Universe. And reading that book was the first time I was able to recognize that the sun was actually an entity. I felt all of a sudden, after reading that book, Origins of Man in the Universe, that was the first time I was really realized what it meant to be on planet Earth, like standing on a planet. Here I am. I remember I was actually on a fishing trip with a couple friends, and I was reading that book, and we were out on the boat, and I was like, oh my God, I could see the sun, not clouded through my mind and not clouded through all these interpretations, but I could just see it in a moment, just shining there, and I was in direct contact with it. I had sunlight on my face, and I couldn't believe that through space this light had traveled and was now shining upon me. And that's when I understood it for myself, the word benediction. And I never forgot it. I always was in tune with the cosmic bodies after that, and realized, wow, we're just hanging out in space here, and there's a lot going on. So he has many other good books, The Way In, only fear dies. And through some of these, he goes through all kinds of things, reincarnation and how to heal your emotional state. And so check him out. It's another great guru, Barry Long. And now, tapping into my own spiritual lineage, we'll talk about my favorite guru, Osho. And he's done a lot for the world, I believe. He shared so much, and the repercussions or the reverberations of what he put out into the world are still moving forward greatly to this day. I originally met one of Osho's sannyasins, who was a mentor of mine, a teacher of mine. And he introduced me to Osho video, and I watched the video, and I sat there stunned. You could say the word thunderstruck applied, because what he was saying sounded like what I had longed to hear, but he didn't even know I was longing to hear. It was such nectar to my soul. I have felt the expansion immediately, and I felt the compression that I had been feeling lessen immediately too. And with humor, wit, and wisdom, Osho's life-affirming message truly spoke to me and opened my heart. Prior to encountering Osho, my heart, it was functioning, but it was really not clear, not open, and troubled, and it felt limited or pressured by my life circumstance. I wasn't doing what I was born to do. I wasn't doing what I was meant to do. And then encountering Osho and his words and insight, it took me on a ride so fast, so far, that I couldn't even believe it. If you truly want to become awakened, if you truly want to undertake this spiritual journey, read some of Osho's books. You know, this is not just a book recommendation. This is like a doctor. I'm like a doctor prescribing you some medicine. If you are troubled, if your heart is heavy, if you're feeling dark, if you're feeling like you, or if you're feeling the call and you don't know quite where to go, or if you feel like there's something more, or you feel like you really want to search, or you really not don't want to just play with the toys of spiritualism, but you really want to know the truth for yourself. You want to experience the truth. You want to go there and arrive at the source and become your own authority through being in tune with the source and coming to know yourself and remembering the whole of your being. Osho is like no other. And I was inducted into his mystery school, so to speak, by just that way. You know, there wasn't any kind of really ritual or anything. It was just, I felt like, wow, now here's a message I can relate to. Because it was in no way had zero amount of controlling. The whole entire goal was to set you free. It was, as we say in BBS, you know, service to others. He didn't get anything, he didn't have a self-motivation. He was, as he said, sometimes he was just singing his song and the people would gather around and enjoy listening to it. And in his work, he did talks on many of the Earth's great traditions, from Sufism to the Tantra himself, to the Upanishads, the ancient Indian texts, to the Bhagavad Gita, to many individual masters, many of the Zen masters from Japan. And so it's a really beautiful thing, because you not only get to read in these books, you not only get to read the actual master's words, the original master's words, but then you get to hear Osho talk about what those words mean to the modern mind, you see. So he's kind of a translator. having the same experience as the other mystics of the past, because as we said earlier, the master is one and the same. The guru is one and the same. You see, because when you attain this state, or when you arrive at this state, does that mean we have a caller? Or is that just some feedback? Maybe some feedback. And, the Osho Resort still exists today in India and is still a center of transformation for people from all over the world. And Osho had come to the United States in the 80s and hung out in Oregon for a while. But some...
From the trees, the forest, to the sky up above, from the mountain before us to a heart full of love, from the birds of the valley in an ocean of dreams, whatever you see is me. From the friend of a valley to the sprout from a seed, from the ant of an alley to a neighbor in need, from the home.
Listening to the music of Christopher Moores.
www.creativecosmos.org.
The convergence of Eastern wisdom and Western art.
Creative Cosmos Radio Show.
7 to 9 Pacific Standard Time. Friday.
On BBS Radio.
Do it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. This is Chris Moores, and yeah, we actually, when I thought we had a caller, we did have a caller, and we just kind of got tangled up a little bit, so we kicked over to the tune, but I believe the caller is with me on the air right now. Is that true?
Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi. Hey, Don, hang on just a second, caller. Hey, Don, can you turn the caller up really good? I can't hear too well.
Yeah, you were talking about if you were really interested in studying some things. There was some guy's name or person's name you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to look into that, but I thought, how the heck do you spell that?
Okay. Just a second. I'd like to find out your name and a little bit more about what's going on, but I really do need to hear you a little bit better. So if you're listening, Don, we definitely need to get that so I can tune in a little more.
Okay, I'm Sandy.
Oh, hey, I think that's better.
And I'm in Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, yeah, hi.
And I've called you before just to say hi.
Yeah, I recognize you. Thanks for calling in.
But I was just wondering, because a lot of times I'm looking for things to read and to get further into this, but I wouldn't know the heck how to spell what you said.
Okay, was it...
It's someone you had suggested a little earlier.
Yeah, I went over four different people. The first one I went over was Teach Nhat Hanh, who is a Zen person who talks of mindfulness in a very peaceful way. And then the second person I talked about was Yogananda.
Okay, do you know how to spell these things?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, could you sort of do that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I can spell them all out for you if you'd like. The first person is Teach Nhat Hanh. This is the trickiest one. And I believe it goes like this. T-H-I-C-H, that's first name, then N-H-A-T. And then the third part is H-A-H-N. And then the second person is Yogananda. So it's yoga, Y-O-G-A. And then...
Oh, now my dog decides to bark.
Oh, that's okay. Hello, doggy. He wants to get in
okay,
on
the
yoga.
Okay, I got yoga.
All right, so Yogananda is Y-O-G-A-N-A-N-D-A. D-A.
Okay.
And then the third person I talked about was Barry Long.
Okay.
And that's just how you'd think it would be, B-A-R-R-Y, and then L-O-N-G.
I'm sorry, what was that now?
And then the person I was talking about just for the before the break was Osho.
Yeah, that's the one. Is it like O-S-O or something?
O-S-H-O, yes. I couldn't recommend his books anymore. They will just have, you know, it's like when I loan someone one of those books or I give someone one of those books, I always have a smile on my face because I know they're in for quite a magical ride.
Great. Well, thank you, Christopher.
Yeah, sure. Thanks
you have a great evening.
Yeah, you too. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Bye now.
Goodbye. And if you're out there and you'd like to call in, give me a call, 888-268-4313, or call direct, 530-876-3222. And we're still waiting for someone to give us the name of our little radio icon. And it's somewhere out there in BBS land. Just look around the pages. It's kind of like an Easter egg hunt, only better. It's a radio cartoon guy name hunt, a moniker search, but it's out there, and you just got to find it, and it's not too hard to find, and you'll come across it, and then I want you to give me a call, because if you find out what it is, we will give you a high-quality BBS radio polo shirt. That's all you got to do. Just tell me what that guy's name is. Call me up, and you get a shirt. All right. So that was something I was mentioning I wanted to get back to here. I don't know if this all got broadcast there when we were doing the caller and stuff earlier. But, yeah, one thing about the Masters and all these people is that they are, even though some of them are not here in the body anymore, that doesn't mean they've gone anywhere. And sometimes when you read their books, you can make a direct link with them, and you can get the influx of their energies. They will come. They will. You can tune into them, and you will see them sometimes, maybe in the dream state. I visited a temple of Yogananda on the astral plane once. I've seen Osho many times on the astral plane, and I've seen him actually physically manifest more than once. Just show up. Just phase in, phase out. One time he phased in really well, and I felt just overwhelmed with his energy. I just was laughing hysterically and jumping around like a fruitcake, and I was like, holy cow. And after that, I read in Barry Long somewhere where he was mentioning that, you know, masters can show up, and they can do it. And the message is usually something as simple as that they're there, that they're with you, that they're aware of what you're doing and what you're going through and what's going on. And, you know, when you think about it, that we tune into ghosts or loved ones that have passed, and now these masters have attained union with the divine, have attained full consciousness in an awakened state, would it not make sense that they could also be contacted and that they could continue to teach and share their vibrations from beyond that veil that is so thin and so becoming less and less of an issue these days? It's just a... not far at all. They're easily connectable. All you have to do is send out the intention, have it in your mind, and just keep an open receiving channel. You see, that's really how it works. You send out intention, maybe a thought. You get a thought. You hold a thought. Or you just simply broadcast somebody. You think of them. You love them. You feel them. You remember them. Connect with them, that sends the vibe out. And then if you have an openness and a receptivity in the silence that allows for you to recognize the messages as they come in, you will make the link. And then once you make the link will never be broken. And I'd like to talk about a few things that most gurus, masters agree upon, you know, because one great thing is that they talk about it in so many different ways, and then you read many different people talk about it in many different ways, and it's like you get independent confirmations. You start seeing certain trends, certain things that come up again and again, and these become part of the new paradigm. See, these are the things that are, they're just out there. They are so. It is the case. You know, even though a lot of our society or a lot of people are behind on catching up with the idea and they aren't aware of it yet, that doesn't make it any less so. And we'll get there. We'll get everybody that can tune in to tune in and get these existential truths to see the light of day and share them to such an extent that it will be apparent to anyone who looks. Such things as now is the only reality. Now, this moment, then this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, because they keep switching, you see. As soon as you say now, it's now to the next now, and on 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 and on. But if you can just take that in mind and know that the now is shifts every moment with every moment, and now is the only reality. And past and future only exist in the mind. And they, as long as they still exist, they color what you experience. If you hold on to your past and set up certain ways of dealing with life based on your past or based on really rigid ideas or concrete thinking, then what you encounter, you're bound to see in that context. And by the time it reaches to you, you've already interpreted it so far away from the transparent reality, you've just made it fit into your preconception. So a lot of people go through and they interpret life according to their preconception, which is nothing more than cycling the same old BS. And they don't leave room for the new. They become dull. But it's so easily rectifiable, you know. The beauty is that any second you can pop out of it, and the now is still that brilliant, still that captivating, still that ecstatic. That, and it's just waiting, you know. It's just any moment you can see it, you can feel it. It's all around you. You're like a fish in water who doesn't know they're in water. And being totally here and now is how you connect to the universe. Because it's not a concept. Just think about it. Be here. Be here and now. Well, if you aren't here and now, where else are you? Well, if you got part of yourself concerned with the past and part of yourself worried about the future and trying to plan for every little detail and trying to control this and control that, and then, oh, man, I can't believe that happened in the past and the past and the past and the past. Oh, what's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen in the past and the past and the past and the future and the future and the past and the past? Ah, there's no room for you to be, to exist. So you come to rest in the body, finally home, finally here. And then it's easy to connect to the universe. Because that's where it is, here and now. And another thing that becomes very apparent, very clear, after not going too far on the path, and you see it again and again and again, how all the old organized religions and politics and ways of thinking and dealing with things are just becoming obsolete. They are obsolete. And they survive by reinforcing each other through opposing each other. Through the struggle, one against the other, they define themselves. And that's the only reason they still exist to such a strong presence. They depend on each other to some extent. Otherwise, there'd be no need for it. Really, none of it needs to be there. We can take the best and deepest lessons of each tradition and transcend to the freedom of spirit. It doesn't go away. We don't lose anything in this process. In fact, we truly set it free, and we can see the elegance of what was meant in the religions in the first place, when the master was still alive. You see, the true meaning of the scripture isn't revealed until we ourselves see why they said what was said. When we see for ourselves, then we understand why Jesus said what he said, and Buddha said what he said, and all the masters said what they said. And that's really a wonderful phenomenon. Really, the single greatest challenge to humanity today is the ideology of so many different forms. And the fact is that none of them are the solution. They are, in fact, the obstacle to understanding, because they exist solely in the realm of the mind. We can rest in the heart, be relaxed and spacious, yet crystal clear alert, and still just follow the moment. We'll still know everything. We can still know all our lessons. We can still apply all the facts and information that we have. We just don't need to hold it. It doesn't need to be front and center. It doesn't need to be the governance of what occurs. We need to get some space and kick back and enjoy life and enjoy each other and give each other room and space to breathe. You see, these ideologies are basically aggressive because one will try to push the ideology on the other, and they'll either be a predatory effect, or the other person will get defensive, and then they'll keep clashing all over the place, and you see you're trapped in the land of duality, and it is the obstacle. There's no way out from within that structure. You will simply spin your wheels around and around and around and around until you realize you're banging your head against the wall, till your head is so bloody you can't do it anymore, or till something dramatic occurs to you which shakes you out of that habit pattern. And another thing that comes through again and again, and something that is verifiable by the individual through their own experience, is that life itself, the creation itself, existence itself, is God. You know, God is not a separate thing. And this is a big stage for humanity, an evolution in human reasoning, that God is not outside us, that God is not separate, not a concept, not a human being, not a persona. It's more a quality that permeates through everything. In any atom of existence, you can see this truth. All things everywhere are divine. And having this understanding and realization for yourself is what gives birth to true humility that exists outside of the ego. Because back when you're fighting with everybody and serving your own personal agenda, you're fighting against life, and you're fighting against God, because we are all life, which is God. And humility is not an act. We all know the stink of false humility. And perhaps some of us encountered the grace of true humility, of where one can acquiesce to the other and enjoy doing so because they're making them happy. They're serving life. If I serve you, I serve life and I serve God. And this is kind of like the story of Jesus coming to someone's house. You know, or the story of the beggar coming to many houses and being turned away, and then coming to a poor family's house, and the poor family gave the stranger everything they had and shared the evening with them, and they found it was the master who had come in the disguise of the beggar. And the story truly means that God is everywhere, and everyone is God. And if you serve your fellow man, you're serving God. And then we know not to harm. We can't harm what we are a part of. We just won't do it. We can't do it. So, we celebrate life. This is what we are here for. Life is a celebration. We're here to enjoy the experience, learn from the experience, get depth and strength from the experience, and to share this experience with each other. So many times we attribute things that happen in our life that goes wrong as far as we see it, and we might blame God or blame life, or, you know, I've been considering this, is somehow how people can have a bad attitude towards life or think that they're up against it or that things are just hard. hard or really awful, or, you know, they wake up in the morning and they carry that attitude from day to day. And that's what life is. That's what life is for them, because that's what they create. But if you see the gift of life and the celebration that's going on all around us, when it rains, do not the trees reach to the heavens and drink deeply? Do not the birds sing joyously when basking in the rays of the sun every morning? Do not the squirrels enjoy running around and playing with their acorns? See, in the simple things in life, in the very small everyday occurrences, with the right way of approaching it and perceiving it, we can see the hand of God everywhere. We can see the cosmic smile and the goodness in life. It's just a different way of looking at things, different way of approaching things, an attitude of gratitude as opposed to one of hardship. I like to remind people that the earth herself would like to see us do well, and that we are still her guests. And to remember and take responsibility for each act, you know, and this could be something too as simple as recycling. You know, if you are, you know, like myself, you have an office and you go through mountains of paper, and you take the time to recycle it, to put it in a bag, and do whatever you have to do. Breaks my heart to see, like at some apartment complexes, they just throw away all their glass and all their plastic. And each thing we do like this is a goodwill gesture from us to life, to the earth. And it's known about, it's recognized, it's heard, it's known. See, that's the other thing that we are known about. You, the listener, you out there, you are known about. The existence knows you personally, knows what you're going through, knows your thoughts, knows the longings of your heart, and is in any time you would ask for assistance, it would be granted. We just must allow that assistance to come in its own way, in its own time. We can't ask for just some, you know, we can't put the limitations on the universe. We have to call with our heart in earnest and allow things to develop, allow things to take their course. There's so many variables, so many things at play, and so many other people's prayers to consider as well. And they all shift and morph together into each individual's path in life. And together we teach each other the lessons we need to learn. And that is how the master is the moment as well, that whoever is in your life or whatever is occurring somehow is God, and somehow it's meant to be. It's meant to be that way. Again and again, we come to the idea that all is as it should be. The pain, the joy, the hardships, the success, the ups, downs, all around. We need all that experience to enrich our souls and to teach us what we're capable. And when we assimilate this understanding, create a balance within us, we finally come to rest and reside in our being with full awareness of the whole road we have traveled. This would be a good time for the next song, and this song will lead us to our final segment and the kind of vibration we are going to close out the show with. This song is called Holy Spirit.
CreativeCosmosOnlineStore.com.
Hello, audience. It's your good pal, Christopher Morris, here with the Creative Cosmos Radio Show, flying into our last segment here. And the polo shirt is still out there. BBS Radio shirt. High quality shirt. Good stuff. And all you gotta do is tell me what the name of our radio icon is. It's not too hard to find. That's the best clue I can give. You don't have to search too far to find it. think stay in the present. Stay in the here and now once you get to bbsradio.com and look around, and you'll find it. And like I said, he will be taking on a little bigger role in the organization here in time. He'll probably have a few things to say, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of his mouth, see what he sounds like. So give me a buzz if you know his name, and if you don't know his name this week, you can just give me a buzz next week, whoever gets to me first. Or maybe on Don's show tomorrow, if you can call him, I don't know, we can, I haven't quite figured out how we extend the contest, but someone someday is going to get themselves a fine polo shirt, and then once we find out his name, we'll find out more of what he's all about, and we can talk about it. So here we go, on with the show. And what we want to talk about here is, what's the trick? What is one of the big tricks here is to stop trying to control every little thing that happens, you see. Because what most of our attempts to control our microcosm and our the little things in our life and even the other people in our life, you know, because many of the folks out there across the land in their relationships just torture themselves with this control. They try to control each other. They control just the smallest, meaningless things. And this just becomes a big obstacle to allowing things to develop. And see, this is, it's hard to break over the gap there to switch from one mode to the other. Because you kind of have to suck it up. You got to admit that, the way you were doing business doesn't work out. And, you know, that's hurts. Yeah. Hurts to admit you're wrong. But it doesn't really hurt that bad. It just hurts your pride. But that is the gateway. That is the doorway to the transformation, is to stop. To stop the cycle. Stop all the, continuing this never-ending habit of wreaking chaos in your own life. That's another beauty of the present moment. Is we start to just not messing so much up, because we're not projecting a future based on the past and trying to achieve those goals out of some selfish motivation. I mean, that's probably the number one cause of stress in people's lives, is they try to force things to happen in ways that they're not necessarily destined to occur. And so there's a whole series of things that goes with it. There's, you know, this hope, and then desire, and then when it doesn't work out that way, disappointment. Or even if you achieve one small short-term desire, you're bound to become dissatisfied because you never got to the heart of the matter. You never solved that within yourself, which causes you to be unsettled. So it's like a never-ending chain of events. So that's why a big habit or a big concept, an area of consideration within Buddhism is called non-doing. First thing you got to do is stop. Stop doing things. Stop causing trouble for yourself. Stop making problems based on the concerns that you carry in your mind related to the past and the future. You have to get to a state of let go, where you can let things be on their own and not feel the need to project yourself onto every situation. See, that's a key thing, that everything that occurs doesn't have to do with you. You can be separate. You can just watch. You can just observe what occurs. You can jump in and participate if you want, and participate fully, and you can jump back out. But never are you captive to the circumstance. Never are you closed into a situation of where you feel as if you're forced to act in some way that isn't in accord with your natural inclination. And you are simply there, present. I'm here. And then you get this buffer zone. You get a little, then you can start feeling your own aura, your own eggshell shape that projects out from your body. And you become more aware of your own personal space and your own way of being, the way you relate, the way you express yourself through this space you cultivate. And when you do this, then you can meet things as they come into your energy field, right out there as they enter in, rather than waiting till it becomes too late and they've become tangled up with yourself. See, probably most people out there have so much of the outside internalized and tangled up inside that they don't even know what is theirs or what is them. So through all these, through it being exposed to the works of the masters and the gurus and those who've walked this path, you can untangle all of what's been internalized. And that's one of the particular challenges of being an American these days, is not only have we probably internalized a lot, there have been things that have been directed into us with the plan to confuse us or to influence us in one way or another. And we have to become aware of these things. We have to trace each back to where it comes from and realize what is coming from us and what does not belong to us. And once we can trace these back, untangle the knots, heal the residue, and then radiate that auric field out into our environment, then as new things come to meet us, we translate them at the surface. We meet them at the surface. And this is serving the universe because it's serving our own nature. And so first we break out of the small-minded way of approaching life. And then once we are more expanded and free, it becomes what works in the universe really is the best for us. We'll see that there was a bigger plan, a bigger picture all along. And when we align ourselves with the universal laws that we can clearly observe and become personally privy to, things work out, and our way of perceiving things has an influence on our experience. And when on this path, and when expressing ourselves in the manner in which we are destined to, life has more depth of meaning. And we feel that fulfillment. You see, a lot of the people that are experiencing this discontentment and they're just on the beginning of their search, they have all that to unravel, all the different traditions and tools that can be used, but you should not be used by. So let this be your guide as you sort out what materials work for you and what don't. Just how you feel. Just whether it feels good to you. Whether you have, when you're exposed to the right material, the effects are natural and instant. They just happen. You don't have to, and also as you go through these, you don't have to like really think about it or analyze it, you know. When you're exposed to the work of a true master or a true guru in tune with the universe, you don't really want to think and analyze and try to like, well, what did they mean by that? Oh, let me think about that. Well, was it this, debate it, because that just pulls you back down. You want to leave it where it is and let it have its effect. Just be open to it and go through it. And you'll see that if you are open, that it will have the effect on its own. And it'll be an expansive effect. And so follow your inclination. Follow what you're drawn to. This show itself is an attempt to throw some things out there for those of you wandering around. You know, all these shows are, and the whole BBS and all the hosts' work and everything we're all trying to do, we're dropping items out into the world. We're throwing this word out there, this picture, this song, this phrase. And then the universe takes over after a while. And just as I said earlier, that when you're open to the path and you trust in it, that the right thing will come to you, well, maybe one of those phrases we threw out will happen to meet you at the right moment and have that transforming effect. Or you'll encounter a picture, and just for some reason it'll strike you, and you look at it, and you'll have that instant of realization, because that's what we want to have happen here. Let's even right now, in this moment, get invigorated once again. Start over. Clean slate. We haven't just spent hours and hours talking on the show. This is brand new. This moment, right here, right now. What's going on? What's going on with you? Can we get past that repetition? Can we get out of that box? Can we see the beyond? Because it's real. I can report to you, and I can tell you for certain that the drab life of the television set is not how the reality is outside in the universe. Oh, so much to experience, and so many mysteries to uncover, and so many things to share. We're just beginning the journey. This isn't the end. Those who think of 2012 and all that as being like an end, well, it might be an end of the old way of doing business, but it's not the end of us. We go on, and we just get better and better and better. So don't let fears take over, and don't think that something horrible is going to happen to the whole of humanity. You know, bad things can happen, and people go through it, but whatever happens to anybody is part of their own life journey, their own life karma, their own circumstance that they're working out. There is reasons behind what occurs. And we'll get through this transition. The resources are available. It's a new way of looking at things. It's a new way of even approaching spirituality. You know, you don't have to all congregate in the same building. Wherever you are, it is just as spiritual as anywhere else. Every place is divine, and every one of us is divine, and every moment has that luster available. So you come to understand this, and you have come back to the Garden of Eden. Have we not heard that story before and wondered to ourselves what it was like and thought how beautiful it might have been? Well, it's even better than that, because in the Garden of Eden there was a certain innocence, certain naivety, that we've now traveled the whole course of life, and we can come back to that state of wonder and amazement and imaginative thrill. But we've gone through the whole life experience. We've gone through incarnation after incarnation. We've played all the roles. We've done everything there is to do here. And when we come back and attain to an awareness that gives us the space, understanding, and wisdom to once again see the garden, we can enjoy it in an even deeper way, knowing that we are a part of it, and that we belong, and that never again will we be cast out, or never again will we cast ourselves out, even better. All is one, and all is well. As always, my friends, listeners in the creative cosmos, and those of you who are a part of our BBS family, such a joy to share with you. I love these times. I look forward to it. It's the highlight of my life. I mean, I have many great things in my life, but this is truly a joy of mine, a special time for me to just get on the air and sing my song and share the flow as it comes through me and warbles through all my experiences and all of what I've been exposed to. And I hope in some way that it's helped you on your journey. And I really appreciate it. Appreciate you tuning in. And I hope you come back week after week as we develop this relationship. And I hope more of you call in and continue to share with me what's going on with you and your interests. And I hope you all have a wonderful evening. I'm going to close the show tonight. Something very pertinent. It's called You Reap What You Sow. Another song by myself. Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.